This is session number 70 of the Gospel according to John. We're in John chapter number 10. Last time we finished up through verse 14. And we saw Jesus declare the fifth I am that we find in the Gospel according to John, where he says, I am the good shepherd. Amen. He is the good shepherd. And the last thing he declared was that he was the good shepherd and he knows his sheep. He said, and I know my sheep and am known of mine. So Jesus Christ knows his sheep and he is known by his sheep. So we really looked at that intimate relationship between the good shepherd and the sheep last time. Today we come to verse number 15. And we're going to just start by reading verses 15 through 18. And then we'll get into the text. Wonderful passage about Jesus and his relationship with the Father, the other sheep that he needs to bring in, and the commandment and power that's been given to Christ by his Father. Let's read John chapter 10, verses 15 through 18. Jesus says, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Wow. Those are some powerful words by our Lord Jesus. I'm not sure if we'll get through all of this, but we'll get through what we can by the grace of God. Father, direct our hearts into the patient waiting for Christ. Direct our hearts and our minds to receive and understand thy word so that we might believe thee and walk with thee in light as our Lord Jesus walked before thee. Pray this in thy name. Amen. John 10, verse 15, Jesus said, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. That's quite a statement. Now, at surface level, we should know this to be true. The Father knew Christ. He knew his Son. He loved his Son, and so too did Jesus know the Father. He actually knew the Father. It wasn't just he read a book about God and knew facts about God. No, he knew the Father. They had a real and personal relationship. Hallelujah. This was one of the major differences, amongst many other ones, between Jesus and the Pharisees and the chief priests, is that Jesus knew the Father. Back in John chapter 8, they were claiming to honor his Father and know him, but they dishonored him. That's Jesus. And they were claiming, oh, he's our God. But he said, verse 55, he said, yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you, but I know him and keep his saying. Jesus Christ knew his Father, and he kept his Father's saying. Now, remember, to know the Father is to have eternal life. That is eternal life, to know the Father and for the Father to know you. And so clearly Jesus Christ had eternal life. Now we know he doesn't just have eternal life, he is eternal life, so he's beyond that. I'll show you that in a second. But I love this in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15. Paul's talking about the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's talking about Jesus Christ, who only, he's talking about Jesus, who only hath immortality. He was the only man who had immortality in and of himself. I'm about to show you that. Watch what he says. Dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Jesus Christ dwelt in the light that no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see. You say, what are you talking about? God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Jesus Christ dwelt in the glory and light and presence of his Father. The Father is the light, whom no man can approach unto. Jesus Christ said, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. Now here is a distinct difference between us and Jesus. We know that Jesus Christ came to open the door so that we could know the Father, so that we could have personal relationship with the Father through the blood of his new covenant. We know that there's many similarities of things we get to enter into that Christ also possessed. But here's a big difference. When Jesus was on the earth, he said, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. Okay, so he's saying the exact same way the Father knows me, that's how I know the Father. And that's a big difference between us and Jesus. We don't have that kind of relationship with the Father just yet. We don't have that kind of relationship with God just yet. Here's what the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13. He says in verse 9, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. So what's he talking about? Verse 12, he says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. He says, now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. Hallelujah. No Christian walking on this earth knows the Father the same way the Father knows him. Paul goes, right now I only know in part. Right now I only see through a glass darkly. Yeah, he sees, but it's through a glass darkly. Yeah, he knows. Yes, we know the Father, but I just know in part. He goes, but that day's going to come when I'm going to see him face to face. And then I will know even as also I am known. See, God the Father doesn't know us in part. God the Father doesn't look through a glass darkly, but he can't really see that clearly what's going on. The scripture says in Hebrews 4 verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Everything is naked and open to his eyes. He sees everything clearly, but we don't see everything clearly right now. Right now we see in part, but not Jesus Christ. Not the good shepherd who came from above to save the sheep. He said, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. That's profound. Jesus had perfect knowledge of the Father. And again, this isn't just head knowledge. This is heart, spirit, soul knowledge. Later in John chapter 17, verse 25, when Jesus is praying to the Father, he says, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, knew the Father the same way the Father knew him. And then he said back in John 10, verse 15, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. That's why he came. Now he's going to come back to this point in a couple verses, and so we'll look at it more closely then. So he continues in verse 16, he said, and other sheep I have. Amen. Other sheep I have. What's he talking about? He says, which are not of this fold. Jesus is talking about the Gentiles. He's talking about the other sheep that are scattered in the other nations that are not of the fold of Israel. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. This fold is referring to Israel. Remember, Jesus Christ came as a minister to Israel, as a minister of the circumcision. In Matthew 10, Jesus Christ commanded his apostles during his ministry to not go to the Gentiles, to not go to the Samaritans, but only to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In Matthew 15, verse 24, he answered his disciples. They were bothering him because a woman was bothering them. And he answered them and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The only fold that Jesus was sent to, that he was sent to gather sheep from during his earthly ministry, was the fold of Israel. But those aren't the only sheep that Jesus Christ is going to gather into his fold. Hallelujah. So he says, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. I like that. Them also I must. That's a must. It's a good study to look at all the musts that Jesus Christ said. In Luke 24:44, Jesus said to his apostles after he rose from the dead, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Must be fulfilled. Here he says, there's others, other sheep, them also I must bring. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He says, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. Later, we'll see how significant this is, but remember the parable earlier. The true sheep hear the voice of their shepherd. They know the voice of their shepherd. They don't listen to any other voices. They only follow the shepherd. He says, and they shall hear my voice. That's neat because in the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, he's writing to a church that was mostly filled with Gentile believers. And here's what Paul says in chapter 4. These verses always stood out to me and intrigued me. In chapter 4, he's talking to these Gentiles. Again, verse 17, he's saying, don't keep walking like the other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Verse 20, he says, but ye have not so learned Christ. Watch this, verse 21, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Paul's going, you didn't learn this from Christ. If you've truly heard him, if you've heard him, and if you've been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. He's talking to Gentiles who never heard Jesus Christ physically. They never actually were present in Israel during the time of his ministry. They never heard Jesus teach. And yet Paul says, if so be that you've heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. So yes, Jesus went back to heaven after he rose from the dead and he sent his apostles out to preach and teach his gospel. But Jesus didn't just send the apostles alone. He filled them with his spirit. And so that when they spoke the truth of Christ, it wasn't the apostles just speaking. Literally, the spirit of Christ, the voice of the good shepherd, could be heard through them, calling out to the rest of the sheep that were in many other nations. He says, I got other sheep which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And when Paul's writing the Ephesians, he says, yeah, this stuff that we're talking about right now, that's not what you learned from Christ. If you've heard him, if you've been taught by him, hallelujah, we can still hear Jesus Christ's voice today. We can be his sheep. We can be gathered by Christ himself, maybe not physically, but by his spirit. God is a spirit. And he says, they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold. Hallelujah. I love this. Jesus Christ, remember, Jesus is the head of the church. He is the chief cornerstone. He is the first and foremost apostle and prophet of the New Testament, the new and better covenant. Everything that Paul and Peter and James and John teach started with Jesus Christ. They're just explaining and opening up things, but he was always the first one to speak those things. The stuff that Paul writes in the book of Ephesians wasn't new revelation. Christ first revealed it and spoke it. And then, praise God, his spirit revealed those things to Paul, and Paul could open those things up. But Jesus said, there shall be one fold. And that's exactly what Paul says in Ephesians 4, verse 4. He says, there is one body. Amen? It's only one body of Christ. Jesus said, there shall be one fold. In chapter 3, verses 4 through 6, Paul talks about the knowledge that he had in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Amen. It was known to God the Father. It was known to Jesus Christ the Son. It just hadn't been fully revealed to the sons of men yet. What was that mystery of Christ? Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. It says there shall be one fold. Hallelujah. There shall be one fold. In Galatians 3:28, he says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Jesus says, I got other sheep that I must bring, and there shall be one fold. Now watch this, this is good. Back in John 10, verse 16, he said, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Again, he's talking about Gentiles, not of this Israel fold. Them also I must bring. Hallelujah. Jesus himself is going to bring him. He said, I will build my church, and they shall hear my voice. Again, yes, God uses men to preach, but it's the voice of Christ speaking through those men when they are truly filled with the Spirit of Christ, calling people to Christ. He says, and there shall be one fold. Amen. There's only one body in Christ. We're all one in Christ. And why is there only one fold? Here's why. He says, and one shepherd. There can only be one fold if there's only one shepherd. Oh, come on. Jesus. Stirs my heart. Stirs my heart. Oh, God. Stirs my heart. Again, we talked about this before. This is a proof of the deity of Christ when he's going, I am the good shepherd. When we read Ezekiel 34, the good shepherd is the Lord himself who's going to come down and search out his sheep. No man can say, I am the good shepherd. All these men who come along and pretend like they're the final prophet of God, men like Muhammad, men like Joseph Smith, men like Charles Taze Russell, men like William Branham, they are not the shepherd. In fact, they are the voice of strangers, and the true sheep don't hear their voice, but flee from them. Why? Because there's only one fold. There's only one true fold of God. And there's only one shepherd over that fold. And it's no earthly man. It is none other than the Son of God himself, Jesus Christ, our Lord. there's one shepherd. Amen. That's what the apostles preached, and that's what they taught when they went forth with the power of the Holy Ghost. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 4, it said there was one body, and then in verse 5, it says there's one Lord. That's Jesus Christ, one faith, one baptism. In chapter 2, verse 11, Paul's talking to these Gentiles. He's saying, in the past, you were Gentiles, you were the uncircumcision. Verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ. They were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. They were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But verse 13, he says, but now in Christ Jesus. Not now in me. Not now in Peter. No, not now in the Pope. Not now in a priest. Not now in a pastor or a preacher or a prophet. He says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off. Those are those other sheep that Jesus said that he had that weren't of the Israel fold. He goes, you that were far off are made nigh. You're brought near by the blood of Christ. For he, that's Jesus Christ. There's only one shepherd. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. No man does this work. No man gets the glory. There's only one man. It's the good shepherd, because there's only one shepherd of that fold. It's Jesus Christ. He's the one who abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself, that's in Jesus Christ, of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. It's only one shepherd, because there's only going to be one fold. And he's going to bring both to the Father. And he came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him, that's Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Come on now. And then later he's going to explain that all of us, no matter who we are built upon the foundation of, yes, the apostles and prophets, but ultimately the foundation of Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Because in him, all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. Let's understand this thing once and for all. There's only one fold of the true sheep of God. And there's only one shepherd over that fold. That's the good shepherd himself, Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. And there are many false shepherds who come along and they try to use the name of Jesus and they try to use the Bible of Jesus to try to manipulate people to get a following after themselves. And they create disciples who are more zealous of their name than of the name of Christ. And that's one of the ways you can mark these cults and these false movements. Because people aren't growing closer to Christ. People are growing closer to that man and glorifying that man. No, no. Jesus said, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. We're going to save verse 17 and 18 for the next session. Hallelujah. The Lord is the good shepherd. And he's the only one who knew the Father the exact same way the Father knew him. Perfect knowledge, perfect relationship, perfect in purity and righteousness, which is why he was worthy to lay down his life for the sheep. And we'll look at that next time, at Christ, the Good Shepherd, who's going to lay down his life for the sheep. Let's never forget, only the sheep who hear his voice will be part of that one fold, under that one shepherd who is the head, who might have the preeminence in all things. This is session number 70 of the Gospel according to John. John chapter number 10, verses 15 and 16. Amen and amen.